This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And with all the holiday reunions going on right now, we want to specifically reach out to every parent filled with pride and joy at seeing a returning college student home for the Christmas break, some for the very first time, and to each one of those returning students as well. Amidst the joy of a child's first experiences away from home, there's the sudden immense pressure to succeed. Complicated romantic relationships, perhaps an insecurity about the future kept deep inside. For parents, there's a blind spot, the sense that turmoil inside their own child may be clouded by a pride. They've all grown up, made it to college, have a whole new life far from home. They don't want me poking around in their lives, a parent concludes. Well, why mention this? One of the leading causes of death, and a rising one for teens in America, is suicide. Donna and Phil Satow came into our studios this week and generously and heroically bared their souls to remind all of us just what may be at stake for young people and their parents right now. They co-founded the Jed Foundation in 2000 after their youngest son, Jed, without warning, committed suicide during his sophomore year of college. It is to Jed that we want to dedicate this hour. The Satows also introduce us to young college graduate Misha Kessler, who's alive today almost by accident. That is how close he came to a single desperate act. These three people's pain, courage, and determination in speaking to all of us so candidly was simply breathtaking. Listen, Misha Kessler begins.
It's terrifying, absolutely terrifying. From my personal experiences, it was such a roller coaster, and it started out smoother and would slowly progress until you just didn't understand the complexities and the seriousness of the emotional instability that you were facing. And when it came to talking to other people about it, certainly the stigma was very silencing, very silencing.
So you were afraid to tell people that, hey, I feel like there's something wrong with me, or I'm depressed, or...
Absolutely.
What is it? All the
Absolutely,
above?
Absolutely, yes. It was fear of labeling, I think, mostly. I think it's a very lonely thing. You think you are isolated. You think you're being a burden on others. You're trying to hide what you're really feeling. Mm-hmm. Absolutely overwhelming.
How close did you come?
I was on the ledge of a windowsill on, I think it was the sixth floor. And I remember thinking to myself, telling myself to just let go, aim for the metal hut, head first.
And why are you here?
There was one moment that forced me to turn around from the window, and I climbed back into my room, having the realization that I absolutely hated myself. And it took that realization, it took the understanding that this was something so much more than any kind of intentional thought could help, because it was so ingrained in my mind that I hated myself. So once I had that realization, I started working on loving myself, and I think that's what ultimately saved me.
And you got help?
I got help. Went to a hospital.
Now, the moment that Misha is describing, Donna, is a moment that more than anything you wish your son...
Absolutely. I wasn't as fortunate. Yes.
Can you describe what happened to Jed?
Yeah. It's interesting that we're here today because it was 15 years ago, this Christmas break, on a Christmas break, that this happened in our family. And I unfortunately was the person who got the call that something had happened. I think what, how Misha describes it is very, very true, that I think a young person, my son in particular, seemed very outgoing. He seemed to have friends. He seemed to be doing all right. But there was a private, darker side that he was very unwilling to share. And something came over my son, who happened to be alone in a small little weekend vacation spot that we had. He was with friends and home for the holiday, and he broke up with a girlfriend. And whereas Jed was gifted, he was very impulsive, and he had a sensitive heart, I think. And he did an impulsive act that there was no turning back from.
Phil, what was that impulsive act?
Jed hanged himself 14 years this month, and it indeed was an impulsive act. And he was with a friend hours before, but the dissolution of his relationship with this young woman was the trigger that acted on his impulsive nature, and it unfortunately resulted in his death.
I was just going to say that someone said to me after Jed had died that he had a mental illness, and I said, no, it's not possible. He was fine. I think so little is understood today by parents, and I don't know if a good job is done to understand how depression or the beginnings of an emotional problem look in a person who's 18, 19, 20. I think we're getting much better, but I think that's a big problem.
So, Phil, what infrastructure is it your mission to try to create on campuses around the United States to prevent what happened to your son?
Well, I think it's important that there are safeguards on a campus. Specifically, a school should have a rational medical leave policy that students are aware of, so they're not afraid to come forward with a problem because they may think they'll be thrown out of school. A rational leave policy might assure that they can get help outside and then come back to campus at the appropriate time. A parental notification policy. There should be a policy like that on a campus so parents will know before they send a child to college that under certain circumstances they will hear from that university. That's an important safeguard. It's important that there's 24-hour coverage. If students like Misha have an issue in the middle of the night, there has to be a place that people can go. That's also essential. And then, of course, it's essential that there's appropriate training. Training among the student body itself so that they know what to look for in their friends and they know when it's important to insist that their friends get help.
So how enthusiastic have colleges been to work with you to develop practices that will achieve some of these goals, Phil?
I think the counseling centers and the deans of students are very excited and enthusiastic to work with us. I think there's an existing feeling outside of those centers of activity that, the problem can be taken care of by the dean of students or the head of the counseling center. And it's important that senior people in universities, the presidents themselves, the provosts, the heads of academic departments recognize that it's a communal problem and that, indeed, if these safeguards aren't in place, it not only will affect the safety of the campus, but it will affect the academic performance because one of the leading reasons why kids might drop out of school is that they have emotional problems and they can't handle the academics.
And the consequence is that it just makes all this much easier if it's above board, right, Misha?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I may add on, actually, I think why I would see a program such as Jed Campus being vital to these universities, from my own story, there were so many things that, looking back, could have been so easily resolved, such as when I first tried to speak to my parents about how I thought I really needed help. I needed a psychiatrist and a therapist. And my parents didn't respond too well at first, understandably. I think it scared them. It scared them what it would mean for me. And beyond that, because I was on an allowance as a college student, my university counseling center's fees were $50 a session. I absolutely couldn't handle that without an increase in allowance from my parents. So I ended up going to a local, basically it was a program for master's and PhD students in psychology. And I got a counselor there for $10 a session. But there they didn't have an adequate communication system. So if I ever had a panic attack, an emergency, I wouldn't be able to talk to my therapist. Going forward, there weren't window locks, so I could open my window more than 6 inches. There were all these issues that could have been resolved And that's why we need to have a program like GED Campus that is going out there and telling the universities to lower their counseling fees, to increase the safety precautions, things such as that.
When was your Ledge experience?
Quite timely, January 18th, so coming up on 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
In that time, have you helped to pull anyone back from a ledge, figuratively or literally?
Yeah, both. I know tons of people who have had these experiences themselves. And it's something as simple as receiving a message at 3 a.m. on Facebook and someone saying, I actually think I might harm myself, which has happened before on many occasions. Generally, I go to them. I'll find them wherever they are, and then we talk. Because the thing for me when I was in my darkest time was that logically or intellectually, I could know that I had a future and that I had a good future. I was a college student. I would have an undergraduate degree. But emotionally, I was blind to my future, such that I was so convinced that there was nothing beyond the anxiety that I was feeling at that moment. There was nothing beyond this deep, dark cloud that I've been suffering under.
Phil, finally, before we go, I can't imagine your loss. Yet, you picked yourself up and started this journey, this mission. It's taken 14, 15 years. You're starting to see some real success. How did you do that?
For me, it's two issues. I know Donna feels the same way, that we would do anything to prevent another parent from experiencing what we had to experience. We would do anything. On the other hand, there's another issue, and that is that as a parent, honestly, I'll always have a degree of guilt for what happened, and that I'm a father, and a father's job is to take care of their children. And my son, I lost a son. That'll always exist, and I would do anything to help others to not have the same feelings that Donna and I have had to cope with over these years.
Well, Donna, Phil, and Misha, thanks so much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Phil and Donna Sato are the co-founders of the GED Foundation. It's an organization they started in 2000 after they lost their son, Jed, to suicide. Misha Kessler is the winner of the 2013 Jerry Greenspan Student Voice of Mental Health Award. To find out more about the GED Foundation, call us at 877-8MYTAKE or visit our website, thetakeaway.org.